Okay, here we go. I'm going to share now and hope this works. We're looking at here the Mishnah in Ta'anit. Sorry, except I'm not on the first slide. It's not where I want to be. Okay, the Mishnah in Ta'anit, Perek Daled, lists Chamisha Dvarim Eru Et Avotinu B'Shiva Asar B'Tamuz V'Chamisha B'Tisha Ba'av. Right, five events that occurred to our ancestors on the 17th of Tammuz, and another five on Tisha B'Av, obviously our topic today. Well, we both, but definitely interested in Tisha B'Av. Sorry, I'll move that over here. Nope, sorry. Not everything is cooperating on my computer right now. Apologize. I can't move it. Okay. That's fine. Okay. Vishivasar b'tamuz nishtaru haluchot ubatal hatamid uvehuvka'a ha'ir b'saraf apostomas et hatara v'himid selam b'hichal b'tisha b'av nigzar al avotenu shelo yikansu la'aretz v'charav habayit v'rishona ubashniya v'nokada b'itar v'nechusha ha'ir. Okay, so the five events that occurred on Shivasar b'Tamuz, the luchot were broken, the giving of the karban tamid was nullified, apparently permanently, hufka'ir, the city walls of Jerusalem were breached, apostamas publicly burnt a Torah scroll, and this last one, it's subject to debate a little bit, whether he'emid selam behechal, he, apostamas, also placed an idol in the sanctuary, in the hechal, or it's supposed to read hu amad, and therefore perhaps it's a separate event not related to apostamas, that on a separate occasion perhaps on a different Shivasar b'Tamuz, an idol was placed in the sanctuary. If it's the latter reading, then we don't know the details of that episode. On Tisha B'Av, our ancestors, it was decreed that our ancestors would not enter Eretz Yisrael, and the first and second Beit Mikdash were destroyed, and the city of Beitar was captured, and the city of Jerusalem was plowed. A couple of very broad points about the Mishnah. These are the points I'm not going to elaborate. It seems that we have two groupings here of two sets of historical events that happened on two separate dates. If one goes through the Gemara on this Mishnah, you start to get the sense that perhaps the dating of these, we're going to look specifically at one of these 10 events momentarily. If we have the time to look at the entire Sugya and at all of the 10 events, I think we would notice that the dating of these events is not all perfectly clear. There are some events that are that the dates are given very clearly in the sources. There are some events there are some events that we're just told that the dating for it is a Masora. We don't really know the source, and there are some events that we even have counter dates for, and that the Chazal work very hard to prove they really happened on the dates that are stated in this Mishnah and not on the dates that might appear in alternative sources. So one starts to get the sense, I think, at least I get the sense, that the value of these dates are somewhat symbolic, that we have these five events that are grouped together for some beyond historic reasons, also additionally symbolic reasons. So broadly, each of this series of events begins with one biblical event. Shivasar b'Tamuz begins with Nishtabru HaLuchot, the tablets were broken in the aftermath of Chet Ha'Egel, and the Tisha B'Av events begin with Nigzar al Avotinu shelo yikansu la'aretz, the decree that our ancestors wouldn't enter Eretz Yisrael after Chet Hamaraglim. So in each of these lists, we start with some sort of seminal events, but in each case, it's a sin. It is a national sin. Perhaps the most well-known in the biblical accounts here. So each of these chain of events begins with a biblical sin, and then each one of these dates, each one of these events seems to lead to a series of tragedies that occur afterwards. Again, I'm gonna zero in very specifically on one of these 10 events. I'm gonna zero in on the first of the Tisha B'Av events, on the Nigzar al Avotenu shelo yikansu la'aretz. So we're going to move. Let's make the slideshow to move. There we go. We're going to move to the Gemara's discussion about that gezeira, that decree that our ancestors would not enter Eretz Yisrael. B'tish'a ba'av nigzar al avotenu shelo yikansu la'aretz minalan. So on Tisha B'Av, there was a decree that our ancestors wouldn't enter Eretz Yisrael. So minalan, from where do we know this? And specifically, we want to know from where do we know the date? Because in truth, the Torah does not date that gezeira, right? And that gezeira that our ancestors wouldn't enter Eretz Yisrael, which comes in the aftermath of Chet Hamaraglim, isn't dated in the Torah at all. So we're going to have to figure out. I'm going to run through relatively quickly the calculation.
Sorry to stop you. The screen share doesn't seem to be updating on anybody's computer. So we're not seeing the Gemara now. We're still in the Tembachi Tembachi.
Okay, thank you. Let's see what I can do. Let me unshare and... That work?
No.
Still the original slide?
Yeah, it hasn't unshared or reshared either.
Okay, I'll stop altogether.
Yeah, okay, now you stop.
Did it work?
Yeah, I would just leave it like this. I wouldn't go into the full slide.
Yeah, that's what I'll do. Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. So from where do we know that this gezeira happened on Tisha B'Av? Dichtiv, v'hi b'chodesh harishon b'shana hashanit b'echad l'chodesh hukam hamishkan. So we're moving back a little bit further in Sefer Bamidbar, and then we'll move forward again. The last clearly dated event in Sefer Bamidbar was earlier in Parshat Bahalotcha, Vahi Bachodesh Hashem Roshana Hashanit Bechad Achodesh Hukam Mishkan. The Mishkan was erected on the 20th day of the second year. Bechad Achodesh, and on the first, we'll get to the 20th in a second. Va'amarmar Shana Rishana Asa Moshe's Mishkan, Shniyah Hikim Moshe's Mishkan. So in the first year, Moshe made the Mishkan. In the second year, he erected the Mishkan. V'shalach Meraglim, and he also sent the Meraglim in that same year. Uktiv Vayhi B'Shana Hashanit B'Chodesh Hashanit B'Esrim B'Chodesh Na'aleh Ha'anan Me'al Mishkan Ha'idut. So now we got to the 20th of the month. I had jumped ahead of myself. So we're in the second year in the Midbar. We're still in the second month, and it's the 20th of the month, and the Anan, the Ananei HaKavod, lift from above the Aron, the Mishkan Eidut, which means it is time for Am Yisrael to finally begin traveling and leaving Har Sinai on their way to Eretz Yisrael. Uksiv, and it says subsequently, Vayisu mehar Hashem zerach shloshet yamim. We're not going to get another date here, but we are going to get a count of days. It subsequently says that that they traveled 3-day journey. Amar Rabbi Chama bar Hanina. Okay, we're now doing a run through of the kind of traumatic events that take place one right after the other in Sefer Bamidbar. So the Ananei HaKavod, we were on the 20th of the second month, and the Ananei HaKavod lift up, right, to indicate that I'm supposed to travel, and they do travel. They travel a 3-day journey, and that's when we get our next episode, which is the episode of Kivrot Hatava, of the I'm complaining, and this is when they get the slav, Uktiv Ad Chodesh Yamim. And the Torah tells us that this period where they stayed in Kivrot Hatava and ate the slav lasted for 1 month. So this gets us now to the 22nd of Sivan, right? Because we were on the 20th of Iyar. We traveled 3 days to the 22nd of Iyar. Now we have a month to the 22nd of Sivan. Uktiv, Uktiv Vatisager Miriam Shivat Yamim Zahavaluhu Esvin Vitisha Vesivin Vesivan Uktiv Shlach Lecha Anashim. And then we have the story of Miriam and her Lashon Hara and Miriam's Tzarat, and she had sent out of the camp for 7 days. So this now gets us to the 29th of Sivan. And right after that, we have Shlach Lecha Anashim. We have the beginning of the story of the Meraglim. So we are on the 29th of Sivan that the Meraglim travel, okay? Cheryl, can you confirm that that worked? We're on a new slide. Okay, great, thank you. Vitanya, the Esvim Vitisha B'Sivan Shalach Moshe Meraglim Uktiv Vayashuva Mitzor Haaretz Miketz Arba'in Yom Hane Arba'in Yom Neche Chad Havu. Okay, so now we have a breakdown, which tells us explicitly the calculation we got to, which is that on the 29th of Sivan, Moshe sent the Meraglim, and it says that they returns at the end of 40 days. But that would make it 40 days minus one, right? If we were on 29th of Sivan previously, 2 days of Sivan and another 29 days of Tammuz is 31, and another 8 would get us to Erev Tisha, would get us, like, we're just off. We're just slightly off. Amar Abaye, Tammuz dehahi shata maluye maluha. Abaye says, oh, Tammuz of that year was a full month. It was a 30-day month. Zichtiv kara alai moed lishpor bacharai. This is a pasuk Echa, and we'll come back to it. Right now, I'm just going to accept that this is the proof text that Abaye quotes to explain that Tammuz of this particular year was a full month. So that's 30 days and 32 days plus 8 days gets us to the 8th of Av. And then at the end of the 8th of Av is when the Meraglim return. Uktiv vatisa kol eda veitznuat kolam veyivku ha'am balayla hu. And it says then that at the end of the 40 days when the Meraglim return, we don't have all the details here in the Gemara, but the congregation raises their voice and they cry that night. That would therefore be the night of Tisha B'Av. Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Oto Laila, Leil Tisha B'Av Haya, Amar Lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Atem Bechitem Bechiyah Shel Chinam, Va'ani Kovelachem Zoros. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, says that night, the night with the Torah reports that Batisako Edaveitz Nuatz Kolam Vayivku Ha'am Balayla Hahu, the night of tears, as you, if you will, the night of tears, it becomes Tisha B'Av, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you cried this cry for nothing. I am therefore establishing this date as a date of Bechia L'Dorot, generations of tears will follow on this night. A broad point I want to make before we talk specifically, and again, I think this is substantiated if we looked at all 10 of the historic events that are discussed in this Mishnah, is that there's a difference in attitude between the Mishnah, which we saw, and this last piece of Gemara, right? The Mishnah, if we go back, I hope we're back to it, the Mishnah, kind of, I would say, strangely even, tells the story of these five events. Chamisha dvarim iru et avotenu. Five things happened to our ancestors on these dates, Asar b'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. Now, a lot of the things on this list are things that really happened to us. Nechrasha ha'ir, I'll take the last one as an example. The city was plowed, right? And it's a tragic event that happened to Am Yisrael. Charav Bayit Rishon, Barishona Bishniya, the first and second Beit HaMikdash were destroyed. What's interesting is that included in the events that happened to our ancestors included the starting, the opening events on both lists, Shivar Asar B'Tammuz and Chamisha and on Tisha B'Av, the opening event on each of these lists. I don't think I would choose to say it as things that happened to. I would say it as things that our ancestors did, right? But interestingly, the Mishnah focuses on things that happened to our Mishnah. Even the way it's phrased, on Shivas Abra Tamruz, Nishtabru Haluchot, the tablets were broken. Now, why were the tablets broken? The tablets weren't broken passively. They didn't fall by accident. The tablets were broken because Moshe Rabbeinu, in his horror at seeing Am Yisrael dancing around the Egel at Har Sinai, he broke them very, very actively, right? Not nishtabru. It's not that they were broken. Moshe Rabbeinu, in anger, in reaction, in horror, actively broke the luchot. And by the same token, if we look at the opening shot on the list of Tisha B'Av, Nigzar al Avotenu Shelo Yikansu La'aretz, I don't think that's the way I would choose to say it. I would say our ancestors, and the way the Gemara choose to say it, is our ancestors cried all night, right? They reacted to the report, or the Meraglim reported in such a way that the Am reacted in such a way that caused the Gzera. But our Mishnah doesn't choose to look at the actions of Am Yisrael, neither at the Egel nor at the event of the Meraglim. Instead, the Mishnah chooses to look at the tragedy that befell Am Yisrael, right? That because of their, and again, I'm adding that because of their actions, but it's in the background, in the shadows of this Mishnah. It sounds in this Mishnah like it's just something that happened to us. The luchot were broken, and this decree came down, seemingly in this Mishnah, out of nowhere, that we wouldn't enter Eretz Yisrael. There's something I find very powerful in this Mishnah, even though we've moved into the Gemara and we're going to go into this Gemara. I think that the Mishnah and the Gemara here are giving us two very different perspectives on the days of Shivas Arba Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, respectively, and two very different perspectives on these two events, right? Do we look at these events as events of sin, of action taken by Am Yisrael that causes punishments and anger, or do we look at these events as things that happened to us? Nishtabru haluchot, the luchot were broken, and this gzera happened to us. Are we victims, or are we the actors in these two events? And the Mishnah chooses to present us as victims in these two events, and therefore Shivas Arba Tammuz and Tisha B'Av in the Mishnah becomes a day purely of mourning those things that eru et avotenu, that happened to us as victims. Whereas, and here I'm going back again to the last slide we were just in, Rabbi Yochanan's a little more accusatory, right? Rabbi Yochanan says, Otzo Laila, Leil Tish'a B'Av, after we did all our calculations, that night that B'nai Yisrael were crying all night was Tish'a B'Av, Amar Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Atem B'chitim B'chia Shachinam. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to him accusatorily, right? You are crying for nothing, all right? You're crying because of lack of faith. Ani Kovei Alchem B'chilat L'Darot, I'm going to establish for you crying for all generations. So your crying, which was based on your actions and your decisions, will turn this day into a day of b'chiyah l'dorot, of things that are going to now happen to you. So we become victims in this process. But the starting point, the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, is much more accusatory than the Mishnah is. I want to hold on to that. So we're going to look now, really I want to focus on the comments of the Maharsha on this Gemara, because I think the Maharsha gives some incredible psychological insights to this idea of this idea of weeping, of mourning that gets passed down from generation to generation. But I want to, before we go into the Maharsha, go into the Maharsha holding on to this idea that within this Mishnah and this Gemara, there are two different angles, two different perspectives on Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is a day of reflection on the mistakes that we as an Am made. Tisha B'Av is, that's what Rabbi Yochanan is sort of telling us. You did this, right? You did this. You made a huge mistake. And Am Yisrael, for all generations, have been paying for this mistake in this B'chiyah L'dorot. Whereas the Mishnah is entirely looking at this as a day of Eru Atzavotenu, of things that happened to us. And yes, the things that happened to us, one led to another. This day became designated as a day when things just continuously happen to us. So let's hold on to both of those perspectives. And with that, I want to move into the Maharsha. I'm going to try to get to that, rid of that. Okay, there we go. That's better. Okay. The Maharsha, before we actually get into the text of the Maharsha invites us to look at this last week, yesterday's Kriyat HaTorah, at the actual story of the starting point, which is the story of Chet HaMeraglim. But he invites us to look at Sefer Devarim, and he says this Gemara, which we just read, the Gemara which calculates the 40 days getting us to Tisha B'Av for Chet HaEgel, this Gemara will help us understand how Chet HaMeraglim is presented in Sefer Devarim, as opposed to how it is presented in Sefer Bamidbar. So let's just look at the opening psukim of Chet HaMeraglim as presented in Sefer Devarim. Vatikrivun elai kuchem, vatamru, nishlecha anashim lefaninu, vayachperu lanu et haaretz, vayashivu otonu davar et davar asher na'alaba v'et arim asher navo elehen. So you approached me, Moshe Rabbeinu says, and you suggested, you said, let's send men before us to investigate the land, and they'll return and give us some information to tell us the way that we should go and the cities that we should enter. Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking here, and he says, this seemed like a good idea to me. And I took 12 representatives from each tribe, and they went up to Nachal Eshkol, and they spied the land. And they took fruit from the land, and they brought it back to us, and they returned with the information, and they said, the land is good. V'lo avitem la'alot. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, you didn't want to go up to the land. V'tamru et pi Hashem elokechem. You flouted God's words, God's command. V'tiragnu b'ohalechem. You sulked in your tents. V'tamru b'sinat Hashem otanu hotzeinu me'eretz Mitzrayim. God took us out of Mitzrayim out of hate for us. L'tet otanu b'yad ha'amori l'hashmideinu. To give us over to the Amori nation to destroy us. The Maharsha points out that there are, and this is obviously well known, that there are several discrepancies between Chet HaMeraglim, as we hear about it in Sefer Bamidbar, and this recapturing, this retelling of Chet HaMeraglim. And the Maharsha argues that the Gemara we just read will help us understand some of these discrepancies. He zeroes in on four discrepancies. First of all, he focuses on the opening words here, "Batikruvun elai kuchem," you all approached me. Now, famously, we know that there's a massive discrepancy here, that in Sefer Bamidbar, it seems to be a commandment from Hashem, and here it is initiated by the people. But that's not actually what's bothering the Maharsha here. What's bothering the Maharsha is "Batikruvun elai kuchem." Here we are in Sefer Devarim. We are now 38 years later. We're now in the closing month, closing week even, in the Midbar. Moshe Rabbeinu is giving his final speeches to Am Yisrael before his death. He is speaking to the next generation. So the Maharsha doesn't understand why Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, "Vatikruvun elai kochem." Why doesn't Moshe Rabbeinu say, "Vatikruvun elai avotechem," your parents turn to me? Instead, he's accusing this generation that's standing before him in the Midbar right now, the second generation, the children. And he's saying, "Vatikruvun elai kochem." That's the first thing that puzzles the Maharsha. He's also puzzled by this recounting, right? If I skip to the end here, "V'lo aviten la'alot," you didn't want to go up. There's actually no explaining in this version why they didn't want to go up. In this version, the Meraglim have just reported, "Tova ha'aretz asher Hashem Elokeinu noten lanu," the land is good. The full events, the full report is not here. Just at this, in this telling of the story, the Meraglim have merely reported that the land is good, and inexplicably, "Lo avitem la'alot," you didn't want to go up. Something's missing here. And then the Maharsha says, but then we go on to "V'nei teragnu b'ohalechem." Here he has a more technical question. It says here that you sulked in your tents. But back in Sefer Bamidbar, no, there was a big public gathering. They approached Moshe. They approached the Meraglim. Meraglim had just returned with the fruits and with the report, and they were gathered outside the Ohel Moed. Here it says that the crisis is taking place "b'ohalechem," in your tents. "V'tamru b'sinat Hashem otanu," that God hates us. And that piece is also absent from Sefer Bamidbar. There's no reference to God hating us in Sefer Bamidbar. So the Maharsha, we'll move now into, raises these four questions. I can't move slides. Here we go. Okay. Sorry. Okay, so the Maharsha again, "Atem b'chitem b'chiyash shachitam ani b'chulei." You cried tears in vain, and I again have established this day in turn to be a day of tears for generation. "Yesh le'ashev b'kan b'shinoi sipur ma'asei meraglim sh'b'parshat varim misipuro b'parshat shlach." Again, the Maharsha says, from that line in the Gemara, we're going to understand the deviations in the story between the Maaseh Meraglim as told in Parashat Devarim from the story as told in Parashat Shlach. "Desham Ketiv," again, I'm going to run through this quickly. We just looked at the Pesukim inside. "Desham Ketiv, Sh'amru HaMeraglim, Efes Ki Az Ha'am." There in Sefer Bamidbar, it says that the Meraglim actually reported, we don't have to stand a chance because the nations there are too strong. "Vatisako Heida Vayelonu," and that's what led the congregation to complain. But in Parashat Devarim, The report is that the Meraglim just said Tova Haaretz, and then immediately Velo Avitam La'alot V'tamru, and then again inexplicably you didn't want to go, even though you were just told the Haaretz was Tova. Velo Natan Tama Lo, right? The Sefer Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't explain why you didn't want to go. V'od b'Parshat Shlach Ketziv V'yachu V'yavo El Moshe. In Parshat Shlach it says that they went and they approached Moshe. Again, this all takes place in public. Dimashma Shaya Kozel Lifnei Oh Moed. Sounds like they're all gathered in front of the Oh Moed or Parshat Dvarim Ketziv V'tiragnu Ba'olechem. In Tzvarim, again, the crisis is taking place in their individual ohalim. V'od kasha, also difficult. Amar kan v'tamru b'sinat Hashem otanu. Here it says that God's bringing us to the land because he hates us. Lo hizkar kein b'parshat shlach. That's accent in parshat shlach. V'od kashesh, amar b'parshat Dvarim v'tigvun elai kuchem. And it's also difficult because in Sefer Dvarim it says, you approached me, kivan shezeh haya b'shnat mem, since this is the 40th year, Shekfar Meitzu Kol Zor HaMidbar, the whole generation of the Midbar has already died. Elu Hayu B'nehem Pachot Miben Chaf. The only people in front of Moshe are either born in the Midbar or the children who were under 20 at the time. Shezachuli Kenes Eretz Yisrael, and they did merit enter Eretz Yisrael. Mahu Chichan Bekach. So why is he accusing this generation standing in front of him? Why is he accusing them of vatikruvun alai, of asking me for the meraglin and of sinning in this way? The Yeshli Ashev. Okay. I know now that when it gets harder is when we lose the translation, so I'll do what I can here. The Yeshli Ashev. Here is our resolution. B'choze l'fi sh'ha'avot hayu mivi'in sh'gam b'nehen v'ohalehem hayu mitzlananim k'mo sh'katzu b'midrash. Right? The resolution here is that Sefer Dvarim is indeed talking to the next generation. But the Maharsha is pointing out something that is obvious, but you know, we should keep in mind that generations don't neatly end and start, right? We overlap, right? So even though Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to the new generation, well, the new generation includes the children of the first generation, many of whom were alive, right? So if you were 5 at the time of Chayim Meraglim, right, you have perhaps your earliest childhood memory is in Yam Suf. And perhaps your earliest childhood memory is this night of all the adults around you crying, right? But you have these early childhood memories of this night. But maybe you were 15 or 16 or 17 or 19 at the time of Chayim Meraglim, and you have crystal clear memories of being in the Yam Suf, but also of this night. When you were told that your parents aren't going to make it, your older siblings aren't going to make it perhaps, but you are going to make it to Eretz Yisrael. So the Maharsha is focusing on that gap between the generations, the ones who were there that night, but the ones who are entering Eretz Yisrael. He says that's who Moshe Rabbeinu is addressing. Yesh li yashay bazeh, b'chol zeh l'fi sh'avot hayu mevi'in, sh'gam b'nehem b'ohalehem hayu mitzlonanim, because the parents of this generation, the generation that has died out because of the decree that they won't enter Eretz Yisrael, but those parents were also in their tents. They were also gam b'nehem ba'ohalehem. They were also complaining with their families in their tents. K'mo shekatzu b'midrash, as the midrash poignantly tells, the midrash, the sifrei on Devarim says, v'tiragnu ba'ohalechem, they were lamenting, crying, complaining in their tents, milamit shehayu yoshvin b'mishkanehem, u'mechakim et b'nehem, v'omim lahem, oy lachem l'machar, yiyu tzolvim mikem. And they were crying in their houses, in their homes, their tents in this case, and they were hugging their children, and they were saying, oy lachem, right? That doesn't need any translation. You're going to be crucified tomorrow, right? The terror of this generation was a terror for these children. And they were hugging their children and saying, telling their children how scared they were, terrified they were for their children. V'zeh shekatuv she'im lo yizku b'nechem yiyu lahem And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu is addressing this generation, who is the second generation, but they're the overlap generation. And they're the ones who remember their parents crying and telling them that they were terrified that they were going to enter Eretz Yisrael and be crucified. And Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, Atem, yes, you too were part of the crying that night. And if you do not merit, and that your children will be like you, kamochein onesh b'chiyal etzarot, right? The next generation, this crying, which you were part of, but also not responsible for, right? You were in this funny place, this limbo zone of being you're not held responsible, but you were there and you cried that night, and you. Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's warning you, if you don't step up, you're going to pass on this b'chiya l'dorot. Im lo yateva ma'asehem v'imahem yedaber Moshe Khan. That's who Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to. He's speaking to that middle generation. Right? He is, in fact, scolding them, right? That you too approached me in terror. V'atzat avichem. Okay, I just realized that my computer is not properly plugged in. I'm going to have to sorry about that. Locking the screen. Okay. Back to the Maharsha. Vizeh, okay, four lines from the bottom here. Vizeh. Shazachar kan shahabanim himru umutlananim belitam kodem shashamu miraglim am gadol v'rami menu. And that complaining and that fear and that terror, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, you had that even though you had not heard the miraglim's full reports. V'zeh shamar Moshe lahem ki amartem b'sinat Hashem v'gomer v'zeino. And the part that you said, what you said, Moshe Rabbeinu is repeating, is you said that God hates you because you had heard your parents crying and hugging you, crying and hugging you and warning you that you're facing crucifixion. And so what you heard was that God hates you. V'zei no, obviously this isn't true because what the Meraglim had said, Moshe says, is Tova Ha'aretz. Aval hu ahevetchem, God really loves you and is bringing you to a tova haaretz, to a land which is good. Vaten sonimoto, kmo shekatzuv, mashal omri madalibcha, al rachamech madalirei, alach kipir. Quotes Rashi, who basically says in a kind of psychologically profound moment comment here, says that basically you're projecting. If you say that Hashem sonei etchem, what is in your heart is what you're projecting onto HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? It's your fear, which is leading to your feelings of hatred. You're projecting onto HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to look at one more piece before we think a little bit together about that middle generation that the Maharsha is inviting us. The Maharsha highlights. If you remember back in the Gemara, the Gemara quoted a proof text to prove that Tammuz was a full month, was a full 30-day month that year, in order for this day to fall out on Tisha B'Av, right, which is somehow destined to be this date. Sila kol avirai Adonai v'kirbi, Hashem in my midst has rejected all of my heroes, avirai, kara alai mo'ed l'shbor b'charai. He has proclaimed a set time against me to crush my young men, right? This idea of kara alai mo'ed. This pasuk is oft discussed in terms of the question of whether Tisha B'Av is really considered a holiday. We don't say Tachanun on Arab Tisha B'Av, right? There are certain things that make Tisha B'Av Mo'ed-like. So this pasuk is oft discussed, kara alai mo'ed, that this set time, but mo'ed is usually used as a set time for holiday purposes. So here we have Tisha B'Av is a set time though for crushing my young men, a set time for destruction. So there's a lot of discussion in halakha ramifications about how Tisha B'Av can have mo'ed type characteristics. But the Maharsha here wants to look at the idea of it having a set time, that the month of Tammuz had to be full that month in order to create Tisha B'Av as the set time for everything that was going to come afterwards. Lishpor Bahurai, the Maharsha focuses on those words, to crush my young men. Again, the Maharsha suggests that we're focusing on the Bahurim, on the young men. Maitele Mikra, Karalai Ma'oid, right? We prove that Tisha B'Av is the date of Chet Meraglim by quoting this pasuk of Kara Alai Mo'ed Lishpor Bahurai, to crush my young men. Every full month has a mo'ed. B'chodesh Tammuz she'ein bo mo'ed, v'hu chaser kara alai b'maaseh meraglim liot malei. Chodesh Tammuz, the general rule is that every full month has a holiday. Chodesh Tammuz generally does not have a holiday and is generally not a full month. But this year, kara alai mo'ed, this year of maaseh meraglim, it became full as if there were a mo'ed, a designated time there, so that it would flesh out the 40 days to get to this day of lishpor b'churai, this day of crushing my young men. Shelo hayu b'nei chaf az, my young men, referring to those who were not yet 20 years old. Ash shikablu onsham l'darot b'oto yom, that they should receive their punishment l'darot. So the Maharsha is creating this fascinating, I think, idea that the generation of adults, they were punished immediately, meaning within the next 38 years, right? They were punished because they didn't enter Eretz Yisrael. But we have this Bahurai generation, the generation which links the generation of Eretz Mitzrayim to the generation that enters Eretz Yisrael. They're not responsible for Chet HaMeraglim, but they played a part in Chet HaMeraglim. They were there for their night of crying. And the Maharsha is suggesting that that is why it's a date of Bechiya L'Dorot, because they're not punished. They go into Eretz Yisrael. Their punishment hangs and continues for generations. They're in this limbo place, and that limbo place lasts. I think the Maharsha, there are so many things about this Maharsha that really struck me. First of all, as a parent, I have to say that scene, that midrash of the parents hugging their children and saying, "We're terrified for you. We don't want you to be crucified." First of all, the level of responsibility, when you think about all the things, you know, there are those, I'm saying to the parents in the group here, there are those moments when you hear your children speaking and you hear that they're mimicking you. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm like a little overawed by the responsibility when I hear like my children parroting me, like, oh no, like I hope what I've passed to them has been worth parroting. And sometimes when you hear it parroted back to you, you're like, wait, should I have said that? Did I mean that? Is that the message that I really wanted them to hear? But you can't take it back, right? So on the one hand, this intermediate generation, too young to be held responsible for Chet HaMeraglim, they're going to enter Eretz Yisrael, but too old to not be imprinted with Chet HaMeraglim. They held, they felt their parents hugging them and heard their parents crying, saying, "We're scared for you," right? And that can't be taken away. That's the heart that's imprinted in them, right? And that is going to be taken. It's going to be taken into Eretz Yisrael. It's going to be taken into the Special Zarot. That fear is instilled, and it can't ever go away because it is carried over, right? By definition, killing the entire population would mean starting over, right? So there has to be this generation, but that generation is going to carry. Like, we can't start fresh, right? Because we do carry Chet HaMeraglim. The people who are not being held responsible are going to carry it over. And that's what's going to generate this Bechi al Adarot, because that imprint is there forever. That Bechi, that crying, and the impact of that Bechi is there forever. Going back to the comments I made at the beginning in terms of the perspective of the Mishnah versus the perspective of the Gemara, the perspective of the Mishnah is Eru et Avotenu. On Tisha B'Av, we are mourning the tragedies that occurred to us as if we are innocent victims. We're mourning what has happened to us. And included in the list of events that happened to us that we're mourning is the decree that our ancestors couldn't enter Eretz Yisrael, right? It is something that happened to them. This Mishnah, in a strange way, is sympathetic to the generation of the Midbar, understands them, maybe understands, and maybe Drash, which has that tree of the parents hugging their children and saying, we don't want to lose you. We don't want to endanger you. Makes us pause about our parental responsibility. But it is a parental responsibility that generations of Am Yisrael have had to struggle with and overcome. The future of Am Yisrael also are scary and also seem to threaten our children, right? And how to make that decision to put ourselves at risk. And they were putting their children at risk going to war to conquer Eretz Yisrael. And what all they could see was the short-term risk of Tzolvim Mechem, right? Again, the language is so powerful. Like, we can see you. We can see you being crucified tomorrow, right? The parents are playing out these nightmares and hugging their children. Now, we know we're standing on the sidelines of this midrash, and we know that no. Your children are going to be fine. They're going to be strong. Chazak v'amatz, Hashem's going to tell Yehoshua, and they're going to chazak v'amatz. They're going to be strong, and they're going to conquer Eretz Yisrael. Your nightmares aren't going to play out. But I think the Mishnah, which says that these are things that happen to Avotenu, has a spirit of this midrash in it and a spirit of sympathy to those parents. They weren't sinning out of rebelliousness. They weren't sinning in this midrash out of some, like, you know, terrible motive. They were sinning out of fear, and the fear is the right natural fear of any parents who wants to keep their child safe. Why would I send my child into a nation that's so strong? Why would I endanger my child? So the Mishnah is really seeing Chet HaMeraglim as something that happened to Am Yisrael because they were actually acting like parents, right? And then in all the wrong ways, right? But they were just acting like caring parents who wanted to protect their children. And so Eretz Avotenu, this decree happened to them because what could they do? They just wanted to protect their children. The Gemara, on the other hand, says, Atem, the Chitem, because of those tears. Your children are going to continue crying on this night because that those seeds of fear that you planted in those children who are going to enter Arkansas, and they're going to plant those seeds, and those seeds are going to go with them and continue with Zoe Rhodes, and they're going to continue to that struggle between the short term, sometimes understandable desire to protect our children versus emunah in doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the mission that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. And that tension is not going to go away. And that middle, those bachurim, the destruction of the bachurim, the Maharsha says, is what this Gemara is focusing our attention on, that middle generation who's not responsible, but who are the children being hugged, right? And having the fear planted in them. That's where the Bichyalad Zarotz. On both levels, again, both perspective. There's the Gemara's perspective of responsibility. You did this. You made decisions and you acted in ways which is going to cause this Bichyalad Zarotz. Or the Mishnah's more sympathetic perspective of you had these things happen to you, and because of the first thing that happened to you, it's going to set in motion all sorts of other things that are going to happen to you for thousands of years of Jewish history. We know both perspectives are true, right? We know the level of responsibility that the messages we plant in our children, even in our moments when we're worrying about, caring about, loving our children, hugging our children, but what messages we're planting there. Again, the responsibility is terrifying, right? And on the level of victimhood, on the level of this happened to you, we know, very cutting edge. We know that the world of psychology is beginning to learn about and to talk about the idea of inherited trauma, right? So on the level of the trauma that those Bachurim again experience, that generation that inherits trauma from their parents. And that's also an element of the Bechiah Shel Dorot. There's a Bechiah Shel Dorot, which is we pass on responsibility from generation to generation to generation, right? And we have to take that responsibility, that awesome responsibility, very seriously. And on the level of Eru et Zavotinu, the things that have happened to us, we know, sadly, that trauma is passed on, whether it's actually genetic or whether it's in our narrative, but we know that the trauma is passed from generation to generation to generation. And so the Maharsha says we have to look at that generation, those 0 to 20-year-olds. That's who we have to look at to understand the idea of Bechiah L'Dorot. Bechiah L'Dorot is not some unfair thing that happens, that wait a minute, why am I being punished for something that happens so many generations ago? No, Bechiah L'Dorot is a process which is inevitable because of the messages that have been passed from generation to generation, and tragically because of the trauma that has been passed from generation to generation. Eretz Avotenu, the things that have happened to us and the history, and you know, we all have that dilemma of trying to figure out, like, when do we have to initiate our children, our young children, into the story of Am Yisrael? Like, how young can we save them, right? I personally subscribe to the perspective that there's no mitzvah of chinuch to avelut, because we don't want our young children to have to learn to be mitzavel al Yerushalayim, because we hope by the time they're old enough to be Chayav in Avelut, maybe we won't be Mitzabel anymore. Maybe we won't be mourning anymore, right? But there comes a time when they're still rather tender, when they become obligated. And we think that maybe, like, we'd like to save them, right? I'm, you know, thinking in not only on Tisha B'Av, I'm thinking in the Eretz Yisrael context. And at the youngest age, We have to explain to them what that siren is on Yom HaShoah and what that siren is on Yom HaZikaron. And I've certainly been with young children who have a very natural young child response of kind of giggling at the siren because you reassured them not to be scared at the siren, right? That we've prepared them for. So they might start giggling and we don't want to take that away from them, right? When do we have to initiate them into the into this part of the Am Yisrael story? Like, we know we're going to have to, and we want to put it off as long as we can. There's that b'chiya l'dorot, the b'chiya l'dorot of Eruat Avoteinu, and we can't help because generations don't neatly end, a new generation start. And so we have transitions from one generation to the next, and our children want to know why we're crying. And so we have to initiate them and we have to tell them why we're crying. And then they're going to, please God, not have to initiate their children. But for many generations, the B'chiya L'dorot has been one generation of parents hugging and crying with their children and initiating them into the story of Am Yisrael from the elements of Eruat Avoteinu, the tragedies that have been fallen us that we don't want to. We don't want to pass on to you. We don't want to share with you, but we don't have a choice. And then there's the B'chiya L'dorot of the mistakes we've made, the things we say, the messages we project, and that is going to be passed along inevitably, and that too we want to avoid, but it's part of who we are. Our ancestors have projected it to us, and we have to figure out if we can break the cycle in what we project to our children, what we share with them about our national trauma, what we share with them about our national mission and responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Mom.